Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. And I want to mention to anyone hearing my voice that if you perhaps might feel a call to become the next lead pastor at Daleville Christian Church, please let us know of your interest through the website, through YouTube. I think you'll find my email on one of those, and send me your interest in learning to become and then lead as lead pastor at Daleville Christian Church. We would begin with our affirmation of faith, this one from 1 Peter, from which we read God's Word today. This is the second chapter. Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. As I mentioned, the reading of God's Word for today is also from 1 Peter, that in the second chapter, also the first three verses, and then we look down on verse 17. But you are welcome and invited to read the whole portion. And the apostle writes, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Today's topic should not have to be preached. Today's topic should not have to be preached in church. We should say that since I am preaching this topic in church, I'm preaching to the choir. So you may get to sit back and relax today. Maybe you can say, "I heard it all before." Or you can say, "I know all this already." At least I hope you are able to say that. The topic is respect. I blame the internet and social media, but respect is in short supply in this country. I'm sure that I have mentioned more than once that my brother, who has taught at two colleges after retiring from business and worked as a registered lobbyist at the State House, my brother believes it's the loss of the Christian foundations, Bible foundations, that has led to the polarization and profiling the other side of the house as the enemy. Even if a person is your enemy, they are due respect. If you claim the name of Jesus, if you claim the name of Jesus, if you want to be a Jesus follower, the Bible says, 1 Peter 2:17, in the Greek language, two words, honor all. The word men isn't in the Greek language, honor all. The verb to honor is in the imperative mood. It's a command. Do it. Honor all. The word for honor is also translated as respect. The Bible versions are split on the word used for translation. Respect all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Respect the emperor. Honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. It's the same word in both places in Greek, and English uses two different words to translate that word, although the meaning of those two words is not terribly different. But I begin this exercise focusing on the word respect. Now, before we get too far in understanding 1 Peter 2, we want to look for a moment at the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 13. Romans 13:7. Pay all of them their dues. Taxes to whom taxes are due, Revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Now, if you weren't sure, you might answer and say, but my enemy is not due respect, or my enemy is not due honor. To which I would have you notice all of the Apostle Paul's examples. Pay taxes to those whom taxes are due. Friends, taxes are always due. We have a saying, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Taxes will always be due. So respect and honor are always due. The apostle says revenue, to whom revenue is due. The King James Version translates the word as customs. We would say custom duties. And what do you know about custom duties? Other countries call them import taxes. Paul was writing to those in and around the city of Rome that saw ships coming from every other country of the Mediterranean every day. Custom duties were due by all of those ships. All of Paul's examples show that all of those examples are dues that are to be paid and must be paid every time. Therefore, honor to whom honor is due and respect to those whom respect is due means everyone. Paul had to make a case to these mixed Jewish and Gentile churches in and around Rome that Gentiles were not superior to their Jewish Christian. The Jewish Christians were the roots and the Gentile Christians were the branches. The branches are supplied by the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. Paul has to state, like Captain Obvious, the branches don't bear roots. Roots bear the branches. Therefore, show some respect. Honor your Jewish Christian roots. And I forgot to mention that Paul used the same Greek word used in 1 Peter, and the word is also in the imperative mood. Do it. Honor all. The Greek reads more like this. Render to all their dues, also in the imperative, taxes, revenue, respect, honor. Honor is the same word used in 1 Peter. Render to all their dues. Now, the apostle's letter, 1 Peter, written by Jewish Christians for Jewish Christian churches, and that's where we now place our focus. Because we know something about the Old Testament. Paul's Gentile Christians may not have known any Old Testament. Paul knew the Scriptures, but his Gentile converts usually did not. But with the knowledge of the Old Testament, we can begin to understand the basis of this respect that the apostles command us to demonstrate and show. You've heard all this before, right? Just say amen. Old Testament, book 1, chapter 1, the book of Genesis, God made the world and everything in it. God pronounced it good. That includes us, human beings. The book takes an extra measure with regard to human beings to say that they, we, are created in the image and likeness of God. That includes all your human enemies. That includes all the other people in all the other political parties. I didn't say it, God did. And God says in Genesis 1:31, behold, it was very good. The creation of humans, male and female, was very good. So everyone is due respect and honor because they are made in the image and likeness of God. I could stop there, but why? We're not even out of the first chapter, the first book of the Bible. There are plenty of other reasons to respect and honor people that have nothing to do, has nothing to do with whether they are Christians or not. But if we are followers of Jesus, we are commanded by the apostles themselves to honor and respect all human beings. Rick Warren, in his very popular book, The Purpose-Driven Life, states clearly, based on Old Testament sources, which I have for you in the sermon notes, You are not an accident. Your birth was no mistake or mishap, and your life is no fluke of nature. Even if your parents didn't plan you, God did. What this means is that you and I, and even our enemies, have value in God's eyes. That God has a plan for you. You, as you are, makes you valuable to God. And you are unique. There isn't anyone else like you throughout human history, and there won't be ever anyone like you, even identical twins who have the very same DNA, the very same genetic coding. They do not have identical fingerprints. I guess we're more like snowflakes. There may be similarities when you look at us, but snowflakes are not the same. As I suggested to you before, you and I are not loved the same by God. We are all loved uniquely by God because each of us is unique. Yes, God is that big that God can love all of human individuals uniquely because each one of us is unique. You are worthwhile to God because you are God's unique creation. So you are worthy of honor and respect because you are different from everyone else. A unique creation of our God. So racism is clearly wrong. There are not groups of us who are alike. We are all different, every one of us. And God apparently likes it that way. These differences are the will of God. If there are, as some say, 32 or 36 different personality types, we have to accept that God likes it that way and doesn't want it any other way. So if you have trouble celebrating what God likes, you have some work to do. If you have trouble loving what God loves, you have some work to do. And I'm still looking at the Old Testament. Apparently, God likes that we are all individuals, and God apparently likes when we are all individuals. Two Bible verses come to mind. Acts 4:26, "And the Lord God hath made of one blood all nations of people to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live." Esther 4:14, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" You may be where you are, when you are, for this moment. And Jonah 3:1, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." What does that mean? It means only Jonah could go to Nineveh. Even after Jonah ran away, God still wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. He wanted Jonah to do it. God didn't get someone else or wait until another prophet came along who would go to Nineveh. God wanted Jonah in Jonah's lifetime to go to Nineveh. God's will, God's plan. And no, we don't know why, only Jonah needed to go to Nineveh. These verses suggest that God's plan includes the time of our arrival on this earth. So not only are you valuable and worthwhile to God because you are here, we are valuable to God because of when you are. That's another level of value. I believe we're up to three reasons we're all valuable to God, and we're still in the Old Testament, and those are all reasons we are to honor all and respect all people. Another reason we're valuable to God is those to whom we belong. Every year we review the scriptures to declare that Jesus is a son of God, a title for the Messiah, but there are genealogical tables throughout the Bible. It apparently matters to God. You are valuable to God because of your descent in the family tree, what the ancient Hebrews called the tribe. Your tribe is a part of what makes you uniquely you, whether you like your tribe or not, As you know, I've had some crazy cousins, so I've had my doubts about the tribe I'm descended from. But apparently it fits in with God's plan. I guess it's something I'll just never understand in this life, but that's okay. It hasn't kept me from the Lord. For all I know, my crazy family pushed me toward the Lord. So we're due to respect people because they live in the same time frames as ourselves, and we respect others because of their ancestors or tribe, all according to God's much larger plan. I didn't say it. It really looks like it's in your Bibles. Now we may begin to look at the New Testament, but we must realize and understand that even without Jesus in the picture, everyone is due honor and respect. We are to respect and honor them not because of who they are or what they have done. We honor them and respect them because of who they are to our God. God's own unique creation, born at a special time from a special family and unlike anyone else ever born before. I could add, or since. Now we turn to Christians, Jesus' followers. We are to respect and honor them also. We honor and respect them because of Jesus Christ, who we know died for them. And we know that Jesus died for them because they have claimed Jesus as their Savior and Messiah. I mention the following at almost every funeral. Jesus taught the crowds, as a part of God's creation, as one of God's special creations, God takes notice of our passing from this life. God knows what happens to us, and God cares about it. Again, we turn to Jesus' words. I think all of us have seen a dead bird. People in Jesus' day saw dead birds also. Jesus said, little birds fall down dead, and God knows. If God takes note of the passing of some of the smallest of his creatures, does God notice us? Oh, yes, Jesus said. Jesus said, we are of much more value than the birds. You and I are of more value to God, who knows when the birds fall down dead, and even they are in the Heavenly Father's care. Finally, Christians honor and respect all Christians because we are all adopted. I've covered this with you before. The New Testament mentions adoption 5 times, 4 times in the letter to the Romans and in Ephesians chapter 1. All of these references are to God's adoption of us. God has adopted us, and as I've mentioned to you about adoption, God isn't saying that God wants children. God is pointing to each of us saying, I want that one to be my child. And God says through the apostle, we are not merely to be children, but sons, inheritors of that which is God's. We shall inherit the Father's kingdom because we have been adopted as sons. In the ancient world, only sons inherited. That's why it's in there that way, and that's why I can talk about it that way. In Jesus' story, the one we call the parable of the sheep and the goats, the judge states, Matthew 25, 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. See also James 2:5. But we've been looking at the letter 1 Peter. That letter also states in the 3rd chapter, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Even if someone is your enemy, they are due respect. Because of God. But that's not the hardest. The hardest thing for Christians is if and when others don't show you respect. But there are no exceptions. The apostle says, honor all. Friends, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I do not believe that you are ignorant of what the Bible says. But many of our brothers and sisters in this country do not know what I have preached today. Even some pastors whose words I have seen in print are ignorant of the Bible. The Bible I preached today. This is not a new commandment. It is a command. You have seen and read and know. Honor all. Now you know why. Amen.